my call that you sent home.
Or what?
It wasn't an allowance, but I got...
She got somebody's call that said, maybe about $14 a month.
I don't know, but every bit of it went to the bank. My mother and daddy sent me to college while he was over there, and then he would send home when he'd get extra money. He would send it home, and it went in the bank.
I didn't smoke back then. I sold that and said that I got for $20 a pack.
And I thought...
They issued them to us over there. So we had this of cigarettes and beer. And I sold a little cart of cigarettes I got for $20. Sometime more.
You probably couldn't even get that for them now.
Oh, you'd get a pot full of them.
Yes, sir. Now, were people more willing to place money in the banks after World War II than they were before World War II? I know the bank situation wasn't very stable at all during the Depression, but after World War II, was the banking industry on the rise as well?
Yeah, it picked up because they insured $100,000 deposit.
Sir. FDIC. Yes, sir.
So they come out and started insuring $100,000. And many people have $100,000 back then. And they had these schools set up to train people under the GI Bill, and it operated on the Board of Education and the local community. And they were begging for people to teach lessons when I got out. So I went back to work far in Mississippi.
From college?
Even before I graduated. A month or so before I graduated from college. And that's true all over the state. I couldn't give you the figures of the number of people that was enrolled and on a farm training in Alabama, but they was a bunch of them. They had anywhere from 1 to 5 teachers in each county in the state. Teaching lessons, yeah. And in Mississippi, they had it in connection with the agribusiness program. But in Alabama, they had their own setup. I taught both places. I taught in Mississippi for a year, and my ultimate aim was to come to Alabama. And when I got a chance, I came to Alabama and taught lessons over in Ocala for a year. And then after that, I went to Spring Garden and taught regular vocational academics for 9 years, and then moved to Joshua and taught 5 years. And then went to the State Department of Education as a district man, and then on to Montgomery, the state supervisor, before I retired as state supervisor in Montgomery.
And when did the agriculture business in the state of Alabama, Mississippi, start to peak after World War II?
Well, I guess it peaked right after World War II, but it's now, to give you a good example, when I was teaching at Spring Garden, the first cotton picker, we used to turn out of school up there, and kids would have to pick cotton in the summertime. And, you know about that from Athens, I think. Well, now, I remember when the first cotton picker comes to the Spring Garden community, I took my boys out there in the field. If you know anything about Spring Garden, it's right out in the cotton field. The school's right out in the little area. And there's a cotton field right next to it. And they had a cotton picker out there, and we went out there and watched it operate. And everybody said, man, that's just leaving too much in the field. Well, I took my boys, and I said, we're going to pick 2 rows and weigh it before you pick it. And then we're going to pick it and pick what's left and see how much we're leaving in the field. And it's leaving less than 5% the first and come out. They've improved them a whole lot since that time. Well, in that same community up there, everybody was farming. I mean, everybody was farming. Now 5 people are farming that whole community.
Yeah. With machinery.
With machinery, so it's a sight now. One man, I don't know, with these cotton pickers and chemicals they got now, one man farmed 250 to 300 acres. Back then, 45, 50 acres.
When the idea of crop rotation was introduced, what was the feel of that?
Well, it's always been, crop rotation's always been a conservation method. You plant one field and one thing this year and rotate it out. I didn't do that out in the garden. I got spots out there that I can't grow tomatoes. I don't want, but I rotate them out. Rotate it somewhere else. The crop rotation been around ever since farming.
But if a farmer then was told that he got to plant his cotton and to leave his field bare and the government would pay him for that, how did he feel about doing that?
Well, I took advantage of it. Well, I took advantage of it, and that's the worst thing that ever happened, in my opinion. I don't think they'll pay it, burn farming not to grow that. And that's what's happening. It's like the pine tree program. I was right in the middle of the pine tree program. The governor gave you $15 an acre and furnished the pine trees, so you set it out in pine trees for 15 years and you get $15 an acre out there. Well, if I'd have had any sense, I'd have bought everything I could have bought and set it out in pine trees and let the $15 an acre pay for it, and right now I'd be cutting timber out there. Now, a lot of people did that.
I read an article the other day where the pine industry in Alabama has surpassed cotton as our major industry.
Yeah, I'm right. I'm having holes their ass too.
Yes. How was the animal life? The farms, cows, cattle, and
very few then. Back then, few people grew beef. You didn't have any way to refrigerate, back when I first remember eating beef. Somebody in the community would kill a beef and carry it around and give it to the neighbors on a wagon. Cut it up, divide it with a neighbor.
Or sell it.
Somebody else would do the same thing a while later, say. You didn't have any way to keep it. And they didn't have freezers. Back then, you couldn't keep beef. Mm-hmm. You see TV tonight?
No.
You see the news tonight?
I didn't see it.
I'm wondering what's going to happen. Over in Britain, they got this disease, what do they call it?
Mad cow disease.
And they fixing them. They have to kill every cow in Britain because it affects human beings, paralyzes the brain, somewhat of them. Mm-hmm. And they have traced it back to several people that have died and say it may not be active for 10 years after you get it, but it showed some of the cows on TV on news tonight how they acted. It's like a mad dog.
And he said it wasn't as bad with steaks as it was with hamburgers.
But now, since the freezer's come along and everything, we got a lot of beef production in Alabama now. The soybeans and cotton, wheat. I grow a lot of wheat now. I grow two crops on it. You notice plenty of Piedmont.
Yes, sir.
You notice that wheat on the right side of the road, they got a good corn crop off that. See, and they sowed it in wheat. They get that wheat off in the early spring and plant it somewhere. Plant probably follow the corn. Or soybeans. Probably follow the soybeans. Don't take hard as long growth soybeans and better corn. But they get two crops a year out there.
And during the time as well, during the Depression as well as World War II, when food got scarce, did they more often turn to maybe hunting or fishing for their food?
They did a lot of hunting. Yes. I lived on the Buddy Hatcher River. I don't know whether you ever heard of the Buddy Hatcher River.
Heard of it. I don't know what it says.
It's not a very big. It's not as big as the Coosa.
It's
a little bigger than Tarrapin Creek.
West Alabama, okay.
But I've fished in that river many a weekend. And caught fish.
With success?
Yeah.
And how about the hunting? Was the coons and the possum?
We hunted all the time. Squirrels, mainly. Not, we never did mess with possum. But we used to hunt in our coon, but we hunted squirrels all the time.
Well,
and eagle. Mm-hmm. Like squirrels.
Rabbit.
Yeah,
my daddy owned 200 acres of river bottom pasture land. And that's where they take the cows. But he hunted in the winter and fished in the summer. There was a river that went right through the middle of it. And we ate squirrels, rabbits, but he wouldn't let anybody shoot the wild turkeys. He watched them.
What about the deer population?
There's very few deer over there.
There is now, but there wasn't there. There's deer population all over Alabama now. It's a wild turkey, too.
Yes, sir. So both of those have increased?
Oh, yeah, tremendously. Turkey season opened right away, doesn't it? Today, yes. I believe.
I believe it's yesterday. Sure did.
I got a friend that brings me wild turkey all the time.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Uh-huh. He'll kill 3 or 4 a year.
Yeah, I don't care.
He'll bring them too, and I'll smoke his and mine too. I got a smoker and a smoker. 4 or 5 on one time.
How were minorities affected, mainly African Americans who were living?
Well, minorities back then, it was a lot different situation. The white people were good to them, but they stayed in their place back then. I mean, they
had it rough, but they.
I remember when my daddy died in 1955, they had more colored people come to his funeral than did white folks. but they come to the back door. They have back in, they'd have funeral at home. So, I mean, not at home, but the body would lie and stay at home.
Yes.
And he used to work those blacks on the farm. They'd lie and come see him. They respected and liked him, but they stayed in the place all the time. I mean, they didn't mix them with the white people like they did. So they didn't have no problem. No problem whatsoever.
Well, the black woman that helps me do the housework here, she'll tell you right quick that they had it rough, but they had it good. And she's a fox. She's one of the black families of the Fox family from Jacksonville. And she'll tell about playing with this woman here in town, that they grew up together playing, that her mother went to clean their house and the children played together while the mother cleaned the house. And she can't understand the young black ones. And she has several children of her own, and she gets pretty disgusted with them.
Did they live in the same vicinity of you when you lived in town, or was there a certain, was it segregated in town?
No, they were segregated.
In West Alabama, it was really segregated. They had a Negro quarters in down at the oil mill, and then they had one up above our farm, which was about 2 or 3 miles up. The black school was up there.
They wasn't treated hard enough. I really didn't have an opportunity. That's what the thing was. They didn't have an opportunity to get anything. They had worse off than the white folks were. And they were glad to work for you, too, then.
Did y'all ever have any dealings or hear of any of the Ku Klux Klan or any lynching
activity? Yeah, they had a Ku Klux Klan. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I have known, I don't know who all was in it, nothing on that, but when I see it went up, I've known the white folks that beat the bell out because they was doing something to the wife or something. They didn't put up with all that crap back then. Yeah, they had a big Ku Klux Klan. Mm-hmm. My folks wasn't none of that.
Any lynchings? Did you ever see any or hear any?
No.
Well, I was afraid of the black people when I grew up. The school was on one side of town, the black school, and the white school was on the other side of town, and I had to crisscross those that came from the oil mill village going to their school, and there'd be 6 and 8 of them, and it'd be one of me on the sidewalk, and I'd have to get off of the sidewalk for them to get by. So that's when they really started then, you know, pushing me, that they'd show me, you know, who's could do what.
That's the same guy from ever done in the Anna-Rabe High School. We were first. That's teaching guy.
Was there any problems?
Nah. No. Mm-hmm. Never had been no problem down there. And kids get to fight when they kid and cut one another up. It's mainly blacks that's going to fight. No, we never had a men's problem down there. We closed up. You know where the colored school is? Right?
Yes.
And when I started, when I taught down there for 5 years, when I started teaching down there, they had that colored school over there. And I'd carry risings over there. We'd split the risings and over to get some government. I'd carry risings over there. We never had a nice problem. So when the integration come on, we just closed it down that way. There's something like 200 kids in the whole town. It's black. And we ain't never, we'd always kind of keep one on the city council. One on the board of education. Most of the time, I ain't got one on the board of education right now. Just because she died. They appointed her on there and she died. So she got to run for it. Job.
Yes.
Well, I taught a retarded class over at the elementary school, and I only had 4 or 5 black students in the 13 and a half years that I taught there, 16 and a half years that I taught there. And one mother was a cashier at one of the banks, and they put her child in my class, and she didn't like it at all. She didn't want her child in a special ed class. And she came to see me one day, and I told her, she came during class, and I said, well, you'll have to come back after school. So she didn't come, and then the next day she came, so I explained to her what I was doing and why she was placed there. And so she was agreeable then that she knew that her child was not being just placed somewhere. That she was, they found her level of, I found her level of learning, and that's where I taught her. Whereas in the regular classroom, they were teaching over her head. And there was no problem with it.
So there wasn't any bias on your opinion. You just, that was the result of your findings.
That's right. And I had the proof to show her, you know. That,
yes, ma'am. Well, I believe this is going to conclude our interview with Mr. and Mrs. Hollis. Jacksonville State History Department would like to thank you for allowing us to come in your home and interview you on the Great Depression, World War II, and issues before and after this time period. Thank you very much.
To add some additional information about Mr. and Mrs. Hollis, Mrs. Hollis was born on March 15, 1925 in Sullivan, Alabama. She earned her Bachelor of Science degree in elementary education, her master's in elementary education with endorsement of special education from Mississippi Women's College, where she served as a school teacher in Cherokee County, Alabama, Jacksonville, Alabama, Montgomery County, Alabama. She retired as a school teacher, and she presently lives in Jacksonville, Alabama. Mr. Hollis was born in Gulfport, Mississippi, on June the 3rd, 1923. He attended Mississippi State University. He had a Bachelor of Science degree in agricultural education and a master's degree from Auburn in education administration. He is presently retired at this time too. His special skills were a teacher and a supervisor. The major accomplishments were founded the State FFA Foundation.